for today. Our scripture lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 31. As we're preparing for this, it's entitled, A Call to Persevere. Now, to be candid with you, we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Many people attribute it to Paul. But when you begin looking at the Greek text that's behind it, some people say it's a little bit different writing style. So maybe it was a disciple of Paul. For ease of sake, I usually say it's Paul says or Paul writes. But whatever, what I want you to hear is that the early church, even itself, was struggling in the early days. Now, we live in a country today where we are free to worship. And still today, somewhere over 75% of our United States admits to being Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ. They've given their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, what is disappointing to hear is that less than 10% of them will ever belong to a local church. You see, the local church has been in decline for many generations now. But I want you to hear, it's not something that's new. It's something that they were struggling with way back then. And yet, Paul or his disciple calls the church to persevere. And so today we're going to talk about the church of Jesus Christ. And what we're going to go back to is we're going to go back to the future, if you will. We're going to go back to the very foundation of the early church. And one of my other favorite passages is Acts chapter 2, when you begin to see the church coming together. Less than 10% of the Christians today will come together in the United States. Less than 10%. And yet here it was back then, it's here today. But we have to be sure about the reason why the church exists. Many of us know that story of when we got saved. And maybe you were a child. Maybe you were a youth. Maybe the Holy Spirit came upon you as you were reading the scripture. But you remember that day that you knew that you knew that you knew that you are saved by Jesus Christ and by Him alone. And you were on fire and you wanted to tell everybody about it. You wanted to be in all five of our services all weekend long. We got many people, we call them double dippers. In church, it's okay to double dip because they are different. And you go to different services along the way. And I love seeing you in different places within the church. And yet, you're on fire. And then something happens. It's called life. And life starts to get cut in. And we have children. And children have different diversions in soccer and ballet. And for God's sake, they put them on Sunday morning. Are you kidding me? I thought I was going to have a fight with my child when they started moving baseball to Sunday morning practice. And I said, you know what? He ain't going to be there. We go to church. We still go to church. We think church is important. And so even this writer, going back to the early church, realized that people were getting saved, and yet then they were just starting to cool off. They were starting to fall away. And so he puts out a call for the church of Jesus Christ to persevere. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 31. Therefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have the great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. That's a great Methodist word, isn't it? Sprinkled. That's funny, people. Come on. People argue about baptism. It's not the water or how much it is. It's about what God is doing inside of us. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. I want you to listen to this passage. But only a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? And what he's talking about here is those who are Christians in name only. Those whose spirits, their spiritual flame, their spirit has cooled off. They have neglected to meeting together. And that's what's happening to most of our country is they're falling away. And yet some of them have this false assurance that once I gave my life to Christ, I'm good to go forever and ever and ever. And yet you cannot get that theology out of the book of Hebrews. Read the entire book of Hebrews. And it makes it clear that we have a responsibility to stay close to our God. And he says here about trampling the Son of God underfoot. And those are the ones who, Bonhoeffer would say, those are the ones who are depending upon cheap grace. Meaning they just accept the grace of Jesus Christ to be forgiven, but they don't do anything with it. They don't change their lives one iota. We are called to be transformed. We are called to change. We are called to lay down our lives. We're called to pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and live for him. And when we fail to do that, we trample the Son of God underfoot, and who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, and sometimes we as preachers, we don't like to hit the hard stuff. It's not fun. We don't like to talk about yucky stuff. We don't like to make people feel bad. But yet you really can't appreciate the good news unless you understand the bad news. And some people have this just kind of lofty idea about what Christianity is really all about. And they treat it lightly. And yet what the author is saying here is that if you do not continue in that grace, then there will be no sacrifice left. And you will be held accountable. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be held accountable. I want to depend upon the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, what are we to do? We as Christians, what are we really supposed to do? We already know we're not supposed to just hang out and do whatever else away from the church. And it says here in Hebrews that do not neglect the meeting together as is the habit of some. And so we know we're supposed to come together. Do you know one of the things that I get in trouble from people who are new and joining the church? Because they don't want to have to go through a class. They don't want to have to study through things. But then when they do study through things, that either reminds them of things that they already knew before and it reinforces it, so it's already a good thing. But one of the things that I get challenged on more than anything is, well, I don't like this part about where you say you have to be in church if you're a Christian. And I'm like, okay, but it's not me. That's God. And it's God saying we need to church. We need to take church very seriously. We don't wake up in the morning and go, do I feel like church today? No, we should wake up in the morning and say, woohoo! We get to go to church today. We get to celebrate our God. We get to worship together with others. And that's number one. If you're filling in the outline, is that as the people of God, we are called to, number one, connect with God through worship. We're called to be a people of worship. So 80% of the Christians that are out there that have never even belonged to a church, they're missing out on exactly what God says that we're supposed to do, to come together as the people of God. And we need to come together for worship. Now, worship is first and foremost connecting. You have one job in your entire life. You have one thing to do, is that is to get to know our Heavenly Father. Amen? This world is fleeting. This world is passing away. This world is temporary. And all these ups and downs that we feel uncertain by, we can come together as the people of God and we can stand upon the rock, the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? We have something that we can count on. What did it say in the scripture? It says that you have an inheritance waiting for you in heaven. This life, this world is not what it's all about, but heaven is what it's all about. And when you know God, when you love God, you don't have to be told to come together for worship. You want to come together for worship. And I believe this is what we've done a disservice over the last few generations, is that somehow we've allowed people to think church is all about them. It's all about their comfort level. I'll go ahead and apologize because it's this week, but it's every other week. And it is really hard because it's cool outside. It's warm in here. If you don't turn on the heater, it's not warm enough. And then all y'all come in here and you start breathing. And it gets hot. And some of you are too hot. Some of you are too cold. Some of you, the music's too loud. Some of the preacher's too long. You know, it's just, we can't please everybody all at the same time. But please, do me a favor. Turn to somebody and say, it ain't about you. And you got to use your finger. It ain't about you. And it's not about your comfort. We don't come together for church. Did y'all do it? I heard you back there. Okay, there you go. Yeah. It's not about us. When you really understand the bigger picture of all eternity, it's about an incredible God who loves us, who created us, and who has designed us to be with him forever and ever. We're just in school while we're here on earth. We're on the training ground. We're learning how to be with God. And some of you, when you find out that heaven is just one long eternal church service, it's like, oh my God. Is there another option? Is there plan B? I can't do this. But you know what? If you do make it, you're going to love it. You're going to sit by the choir. You're going to sing hymns. Those of you who can't sing, you're going to be able to sing. I believe that with all my heart. You're going to open up your mouth. You're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We are called to be the people of God. If you don't get anything else this morning about worship, I want you to get and understand this. Worship is not about what you get. I love that story about the farmer who, after years of going to the same little church, he stopped going. And finally, one day, the preacher went out and saw him and said, you know, what's going on? I haven't seen you in church lately. And he said, you know, preacher, I've been going to that church for a long time. I've been listening to you for 28 years. And for the life of me, I can't remember a single sermon that you've given. And the preacher thought for a moment. He said, mm-hmm. He said, you know, farmer, he said, for my entire life, three times a day, I've eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for the life of me, I cannot tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I think it was important. Some of you were raised like I was raised. You were raised with the King James Bible. I don't ever remember studying the King James Bible. By the time that I was old enough to read, it was the NRSV, it was the NIV, it was the Good News for Modern Man, it was the Living Bible. There were different Bibles that we used across the ages and different times. I don't remember studying the King James. And yet, whenever a scripture comes to my mind, it comes in the King James. And that means that even when I didn't know that things were osmosis, just show up to church, even the word of God, the osmosis, it gets into your blood, it gets into your system, it washes over your mind, and it tells me that even though I can't tell you a single sermon when I was 5 years old, apparently I was listening, and apparently it made a difference in my life. Worship is not something we get, but it's something we come to do. We need to turn it around from our comfort level, and walking out saying, did I get anything out of this today? But to say, God, were you pleased today? Did we really worship you? Did we bring praise into your house? You have one job to do, and that's to get to know your Heavenly Father. And when you get to know your Heavenly Father and you truly know him and you love him, then you will want to gather together with the people of God. Amen? Number two is to grow in our faith through discipleship. If you're not dead, you're not done. Some people have been in church their entire lives, and they thought, well, if I ain't got it now, I ain't never going to get it. And that's not true. We're called to continue growing in our faith because every one of us is imperfect. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has sinned. And every one of us has changed. If you've been in the church very long, hopefully you can look back into your past and say, I'm not as bad as I once was, but I'm not as good as I'm going to be. When we are called to be the people of Christ, we are called to lay down our lives, pick up our crosses and follow him. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's not just giving mental assent to him, but it's learning to think like he thought. It's learning to live like he lived. It's learning to see the world and see the people in the world from a different perspective, from a place of love. And so we're called to grow in our faith through our discipleship. And if you've been in this church for very long, you're recognizing these as our four cornerstones. And we have several leaders who are gifted leaders. And in a couple of months, we're going to have some new classes for you. Encourage everyone, regardless of how long you've been in the church, how long you've been in this church. Everybody, we want you to take these cornerstone classes, because if you want a sure foundation, if you want to know what this church is all about, then you will want to be a part of this, because it will help you grow in your faith. We're called to worship. We're called to grow in our faith. Number three is to serve others in the name of Christ. Somebody say, uh-oh. We don't like to serve others. We like to be served. We like people to fix our dinner. We like people to clean up our dishes. That's why we go out to eat all the time. Amen? It's nice when other people serve us. And yet, you know, it's kind of like, uh-oh, man, okay, I knew there had to be some kind of catch here. We were doing great so far. Worship God, yay. Even learn the Word of God. Maybe you struggle with Bible study and you've done it on your own. You don't get it, but maybe you get into a Bible study and you find that somebody else has an enlightened position on that. And you go, oh, I've always struggled with that. That's awesome. Thank you. And you grow. But now, wah, wah, wah. Everybody is called to do something within the life of the church. Everyone is called to serve. We're called to serve others in the name of Christ. Paul writes to Timothy that faith without works is dead. In Hebrews, it says spur. Everybody say spur. Man, that's a rough word. I don't like the word. But it says that's exactly, that's the word that's used that says that's how we're supposed to encourage one another. And encourage them to do works of good faith. And one of the things that you may need to hear about is that you have a spiritual gift. It's not working like doing things that you hate to do. Everyone has been gifted with some kind of gift. How many of you had coffee this morning? How many of you saw the sign that says, where's Gail? Wait, here's Gail. Say, I don't even know Gail. Well, there she is. She's right there. And you know what? While we're taking our time and getting to work, or we're stopping at Denny's and having a little breakfast before we come, there are people that are here and they're working, and there are ushers. And man, church doesn't happen with so many different groups of people to come together. And by the way, she's looking for more people to help with hospitality. If you have the gift of hospitality and that's your spiritual gift, you need to get all over it. And some people it's preaching, some people it's teaching, and some people it's helping and opening up the doors, and some people are gifted in leadership. I believe the church has been in decline because we, the people, haven't stepped up into our places and our roles and our leadership positions. But I want you to hear this. When you get a spiritual gift, it's not something that you have to be drug out of bed to do. It's saying, wow, I really have a gift. I have something that I love to do, and I can come and do that and build up the church. That's what we're called to do. Everybody could find at least one place to serve in the church. And then finally, number four is to share our testimonies for the evangelism of the world. You don't have to raise your hand, but ask the question, how many of you have ever really shared your faith with a non-believer? You know, one of the incredible things to me is that God uses imperfect people like you and me to reach the world. We have a mission. We have a goal. It's for the transformation of the world. In case you're not clear, John 3:16 said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then from there, he left it to his disciples. In Matthew, it says to go ye therefore into the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of people that aren't in church today. There's a whole lot of people who need to be spurred on. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that church is something of a place of joy. And they also need to know why we come. And we have gifted leaders that will help you to understand your spiritual gift. When I was a young Christian, I didn't know if I had one. Sometimes we don't like to take tests because we're afraid we'll fail. We really don't want to fail a test at church. The good news is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a gift. You may not know exactly what it is. It may be similar to your likes and dislikes, but it may not. And it might be just one of those ding kairos moments that says, wow, that's what I'm supposed to do. There's a gift for each and every one of us. And there's a time for learning our testimonies. And most of you would just be panicked if I said, we've got an open mic and we're not getting out of here till everyone shares their testimony. Well, some of y'all get saved pretty quick, huh? Yeah. But what I want you to hear is that everybody needs to learn their own personal story. And as I was taught over the years to be able to share my faith, and I pray that each and every one of you would know exactly why you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and then to realize there's a whole world that's hurting out there. They don't know or understand the love of Jesus Christ, and we are called to reach out to them for the evangelism, for the transformation of the world. It's God's heart that we would not just leave it here at church, but we would go out into our mission field. John Wesley said, the world is my parish. And finally, let me share this last thought with you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I know maybe today was like drinking from a fire hose. Maybe there was so much information that was being thrown at you. And maybe you were just picking up bits and pieces here and there, and I think that's okay. I think the Holy Spirit is working in your life where you need to be. But we started off talking about the uncertainties of our future, whether it's in the United Methodist Church, our personal lives, or moving into a new year of 2018. But I want to end on this sure foundation. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. My friends, don't come and ask me. I can't tell you what's going to happen this afternoon. I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We can always say, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We can think, we can plan. But the fact is, the one thing that we can hold on to is being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ now and forevermore. Amen. And I wanted to share this passage because I want you to hear about your inheritance. It's not about this life. It's not about this world. It is kept a sure inheritance for all those who are in Jesus Christ, for the end of this world and the coming of the new world to come, when heaven and earth come together in a place of no more crying, no more sorrow, and no more pain. My friends, that is the rock of Jesus Christ, a sure foundation that we can stand upon. Amen? Let's pray.